like to call the September 12th meeting of Ways and Means to order, and I have a approval of the August 15th meeting. Let's move it to second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Commissioner of Finance would like to discuss the interest rates of this.
So I just wanted to bring up that next week the Fed's meeting, and there's a lot of predictions that there's going to be a lot of interest rate cuts. So the county staff, her team, finance have been working to meet with a bunch of banks and IAB and review different options and how that's going to affect our firm's potential of interest. So since late 2022, we've had what's called an inverted yield curve where short-term investments are earning a better rate and outperform long-term investments. So what we get right now is 5.3% from Bank of Green, and they basically give us a rate of Treasury. So in July, they gave us what the Treasury had, which is 5.3, and they lock us in for 90 days regardless. So like right now, that interest rate is lower, but we still have the 5.3 because they lock us in, kind of like it's a CD, but we have the liquidity to just get out of it whenever we want. We're not actually in a CD. So even if we were to go down 25 or 50 basis points next week, we would still be outperforming anything we can get right now. But the what they're expecting is that as the rates drop, that this curve is going to turn back to the normal way of having longer-term investments have a higher yield. So our plan is just monitor it for the next 3 to 6 months, where at that point it might be a really good time for us to move into some longer term investment options. And we just wanted to let you know that that was on our radar. The county executive is very involved in what we're doing for this. And if you had any questions, just let us know.
Okay, thank you for the questions. Thank you. All right, we need to resolutions. All motions are to adopt unless otherwise stated. So resolution 475 amended as presented. Motion.
Which resolution are you calling?
475.
475.
Yeah, we're taking out of order.
Catch up with you.
So I'll move to adopt it.
Second. Jump into discussion.
So I'm going to let folks hear enough about from me, so I'm going to let Kai from our office have the further discussion.
We can move up here, Kai.
Sure. We did give you a handout that hopefully would try to address some of the concerns that we've heard of the committee being addressed. So, Kai, if you would.
Sure. So in the handout, this is an abbreviated version of the five projects that are being recommended for funding. We can give you a full presentation if you want. Not now, but we can pass that along to you. But I wanted to highlight the last two pages, which the chair had brought up some concerns, and we just wanted to address how the fund is designed and hopefully designed in a way to mitigate some of those concerns. So the first concern, and they're related, is the project funding is not needed or it overcompensates recipients of the project. So for all the five projects that are being recommended, there was a gap identified, so they haven't met 100% of their capital stack, as they call it. So we are providing a gap that allows them to complete their project and move into construction. For the Kingston Land Bank project, we would actually be what we call first in for the county. And then that would allow them to go secure other funding sources from the states or the Fed, which a lot of state and federal sources are looking for local support for a match. So we're kind of a catalyst or a multiplier for that project. For low-income housing tax credit projects, there's a maximum return for developer fees. So, you know, it's a certain percentage, usually around 5 or 6%. For a developer fee, so there wouldn't be, you know, more money going to a developer just because they were providing these grant funds. All the five applicants are nonprofit applicants, so you know, under New York State nonprofit law, they have to reinvest those returns back into the organization, and they don't receive any profit from this grant. Another part of the Housing Action Fund is that no soft costs are allowed, and that includes salaries. So every dollar that we give to a project ultimately has to go towards construction of the project. And it doesn't, they have to find their developer fees somewhere else. And then for contracts for the actual Housing Action Fund, we've designed it on a reimbursement basis. So they have to incur costs and then they will get reimbursed for those costs. So we're not just handing over the money, hoping they spend it in the right way, and then hoping the project goes through. They have to incur costs from their subcontractors, before they'll receive any of the money. Dennis, anything to add there?
And just the fact that there is a, we would do a recapture if the money's out there for too long. So we're only going to give them somewhere in the neighborhood of 24 to 36 months in order to essentially start pulling building permits and move this forward. If they don't move in that time, they're going to have to come back to us, A, tell us why, or B, we would move to recapture the funds. And then there's a second.
And then the second concern, which is related, is that the Housing Action Fund is not, you know, generating new projects, or it might be replacing other available funding sources. So the way that we've designed this is in a couple ways that I'll lay out. First is that, you know, there are other funding sources out there, but we've got some criteria in here that kind of go above and beyond a lot of other funding sources. So what the Housing Action Fund is doing is if we are providing money, we can lock in what our goals are for the project with the project itself. Namely, that most affordable housing projects have an affordability period of 30 years. For the Housing Action Fund, it's 50 years. So we're getting 20 more years of affordability if they use our funding source. And then the other is that we have sustainability criteria that they would have to adhere to. So we're making sure that all the projects are sustainable. Really what we're doing is, you know, it's not a huge amount of money for any one project. It's between 3 to 8% of the total capital stack for a project that we're funding for this round. But what we are doing is we're providing a really crucial local support for a project to go out and multiply that funding with state and federal sources. HER has told us directly that this is what they're looking at, and this is weighs heavily in their decision to provide LIHTC funding, low-income housing tax credit funding to projects, specifically in the case of Silver Gardens, which is what pushed Silver Gardens over to the finish line for them, is the fact that the county legislature provided ARPA funding for them. Another point is just, as I mentioned, there's no one source of funding that makes up a project. The projects that we are recommending, there's between 6 and 13 different funding sources that developers have to go out and apply for, whether that's loans, whether that's equity, whether that's grants. So there's really, even though we're a smaller portion of that, there's never one, you know, one source of funding that's providing that. So there's no make or break source. And then I guess the last piece is just that, you know, it's a smaller percentage, but what the Housing Action Fund is doing, and hopefully it's sustained over the long term, is that we're signaling to the development community that this local match and this local support is going to be here over the long term. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, if they see a project here, they see that the county is still invested in this and still providing funding for them. And that is it.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I appreciate it. You must give us to the floor under the NOI. I am dead set against picking in winners and losers in the housing industry, especially giving money to companies like Repco who live off the company, county dime. And I would like to be a note today. But I know if I both know and my colleagues follow my lead, that Abe will just do a petition of discharge and it'll be up next month. So in fairness with that in mind, I will be a yes today because the minority party takes their power here seriously, unlike the majority party that will constantly steamroll and bully the minority party. So I'll be a yes on this.
Is there data that we can look at that shows that taking an approach like this results in more housing in communities? Is this a model that's already been used other places that we're following, or are we, so we have that, we have some track record in other places?
The Housing Action Fund was literally, one, it was recommended with respect to the housing needs assessment that the county did in 2023. And part of that, we looked at other successful programs within New York State. There are numerous programs outside of New York State, but within New York State, and two of them are Tompkins County has a similar fund, as well as does Westchester. There are other opportunities out there. One of them has to actually, there's a city in Michigan that is doing loan programs as well, so very large loan programs, and that's at a city level as well in order to this. I want you to think about the fact that what Kai said relative to the fund being here long term. So not only does it provide support, it provides an incentive to look into Ulster County and to propose projects in Ulster County, knowing quite frankly that A, there's a Housing Smart Communities program, B, there's a funding program, and C, there's a recognition within the county's the county's municipalities that there is a need for housing.
I'd say we most closely modeled this after the Tompkins County, which has been running for, I think, somewhere between 10 and 15 years and has supported development of over 3,000 units. And we can get you more data on that as well. But
yeah, I think that's helpful to address some of the concerns about whether it's simply subsidizing some developer, be it a nonprofit or not.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pleasure to come. I'm going to support this. I feel like this is an investment in our community, investment in our people, investment in our housing. I believe that stable housing, supportive housing investments will grow our economy in our county and will bring back more money than we actually spend on this. I believe it's economic sense to do this and support these projects. You know, we have 500 people in hotels every night. This is going to help mitigate that. It's going to help those people that are in those emergency housing to be able to get jobs. Because when you have to move and you're in a hotel or a motel, you can't do that. So this is about the economy of the county. It's going to help the county grow the economy and help our citizens. So totally support it. From an economic point of view, I don't understand the comment from the minority party, but it just makes sense to me.
My question is, are all these projects, do they all have local planning board approval?
The answer to that is yes, with two exceptions. One has to do with the Kingston Land Bank exception. It would be consistent with the City of Kingston's new form-based code, but they're early on in the process, as we mentioned in what you have in front of you. The other has to do with the mobile home project, otherwise known as Gallus Hill. Gallus Hill has some site plan approval in the town of Hurley. It's actually split between two towns. A portion is in the town of Ulster, and the other portion is in the town of Hurley. The additional units, as we understand it, the additional units that we're funding is in the town of Hurley, not in the town of Ulster. And there are some infrastructure improvements that are needed as well. So the short answer is, as far as we're concerned, we think that the site plan approval, even though there's not infrastructure approval associated with it, the site plan approval for the town of Hurley piece of this has been done, even though it may be dated.
And just to note that in our contract and in the notice of funding availability, you may make it very clear that a project, even if awarded, doesn't receive the funding until we see building permits from the local municipality. So we have a guarantee that the project is getting built. It's not a hypothetical one.
Just a follow-up. Do any of these projects require a PIRA?
The short answer is, I believe Harmony Hall, which is here, which has a gap, already has its pilot.
Mm-hmm.
The Gallus Hill program, we haven't seen a discussion with respect to that. I would suggest that it's not eligible for a pilot, mainly because it's a commercial entity. It's not a townhouse development. It is a mobile home park, and so that's owned by if it ends up being owned by a co-op, there may be an opportunity there, but as it's currently structured, we're not seeing the issue with respect to pilot. I am not sure what the land bank is going to do. I would suspect that the land bank would receive a favorable discussion from the city of Kingston should it decide to seek a pilot.
And that's a no on the Habitat for Humanity right. project in Fargate.
The 24 to 36 months, that's completion or that's the beginning of project?
That's to begin the project. We want to give them time, Chair. We're trying to give them time to essentially, if the projects aren't through the entire process and are still, remember this substantial amount of grants that go into the capital stack. They can't get themselves fully funded. We want to make sure that we give them an opportunity to do that, but we don't want to tie the money up if there are other applicants that are ready to go.
So we expect, at least for this round, they didn't mention this before, but a lot of the projects that because we're in round one, a lot of these projects are further along, so we expect them to request a drawdown much earlier than 36 months. But in the future, we may be the first in, like the Kingston Land Bank, so it might take them longer to find their capital stack and draw down the money.
The example I would give you is if you think of the use of ARPA funds for Silver Gardens. Silver Gardens was not funded. It was a low-income housing tax credit seeking 9%. It had to go through the competitive round. The fact that we provided funding for the Silver Gardens project, I think, weighed heavily on the project getting its award this funding round. So technically when you appropriated the ARPA money, they didn't have all their capital stack approved. They then got it approved and now you're moving forward they're actually in construction.
And just to clarify, so then these are all nonprofit, but the fund itself is not limited.
That's correct.
Okay, just making sure that I'm not incorrect on that. So while my concerns aren't necessarily for these projects, if they're nonprofit, I'm concerned in the future. I just want to make sure I know those concerns relate to you, but
yeah.
I'd like to make sure that we keep an eye on that as we go forward for this.
Yeah, and as we're aware from the way that these deals could be structured, and even though there may be a quote for-profit primary developer behind it, the ownership of the project may end up being not for profit. The example I would give you is Golden Hill. Golden Hill started out as a for-profit. Now 51% of that project is going to be owned by Family of Woodstock.
Any other questions? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I was wondering if I could prevail upon the chair to do resolution number 473.
Sure.
And I can go home and
do more work.
Very likely.
Sorry. Resolution 473. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Second chance of discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else Thank you. To say anything out of order? I absolutely care about it. No? Okay. Resolution 356.
Move it for discussion.
Okay. Thank you. Second for discussion? Second discussion.
Yes. I have been under the impression, and I have just reread the resolves of this resolution, that it would require consideration of the use of hemp in housing and building projects with insulation, capital projects of the county. And there is a resolve that says just that. There's a second resolve that says that must be included in that the consideration has taken place shall be included in the documentation accompanying the initial funding request. And I have been assuming that could be as simple as hemp was considered and hemp was not chosen to be used. But this is a resolution that had my reluctant support because it's singling out a specific material to have a special process. And I'm concerned about that. And there are concerns that others have raised about whether these resolves ask for too much. So I would be prepared to make a motion to postpone this if the committee shares those feelings.
Actually, I've been asked if we can refer to health. Apparently, some of their issues that received stuff.
Yeah, if I may, I would like to ask that this be referred to health. The first resolve says, it should be the policy of Ulster County prior to the allocation of any county funding toward any housing development projects in Ulster County, which includes the aforementioned Housing Action Fund. Because of that and it having a pretty significant impact on a major policy area that passes before the Health, Human Services, and Housing Committee, I'd like to ask that this be referred to that committee.
Can I have a motion to post? I'm sorry, to refer it back to health?
I revise my motion to refer it to the health committee. I don't think it's referring it back because it didn't go to it yet.
It has not been before the health committee.
Vote to refer it to health. Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Sure. All right. Thank you. 358 was postponed in laws and rules. 441, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 458, amended as presented. Motion.
What was the resolution?
It was 458 and it was amended as presented.
Move it or second it.
Somebody we need a second?
He's going to make a motion. Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Here. 460.
Oh, you have to adopt as amended.
I'm sorry.
As amended.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 465. No motion?
Make it.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 466, can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 467, move it. Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 468, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Second. Discussion? I have a question. Why aren't we using the decarbonization reserve or why are we bonding for this? I'm sorry, it's 468. Still somewhere, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
It will mainly be, at this point, we are in conjunction with the NYSERDA grant. We're looking to utilize as much NYSERDA money and then also what will then become tax credits from the IRA for the project. And the tax credits have to be on the following tax year. So I think we're looking to minimize spending out with counties and use of course,
So then why don't we use the decarbonization reserve instead of the general?
We could look at the decarbonization reserve. However, at this point in time, we don't know exactly between the carbon tax and then tax credit and then that sort of work that now with
why wouldn't we just substitute the 2024 capital fund budget for the decarbonization reserve? Because at the end of the day, you're only going to spend what you spend. It goes at the right appropriate line.
This is on that consent.
All right, so then I will make a motion to amend it to go to the decarbonization reserve.
I'll second that.
We cannot do that without having a bargain. So we can post it tonight and we can amend it for the floor.
Okay.
Or we can postpone it and have it in its amended form to those options.
It's amended on the floor. It's a simple amendment.
Yeah, okay, should amend it on the floor. Okay.
So we have to vote.
Yeah. So then not sending it.
Adopted as
it's
presented.
All right, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 472, kind of motion as amended presented.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
Gotcha. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adopt as amended?
Yes.
Second. Second, I think we're going to discuss it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, sorry, wait a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
But that's
yeah. Those 473 of your bid, 474. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Harry, 476. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. All right. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Harry, 477. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion. Mr. Chair. Let's answer this then.
No, go ahead.
I just want to, I guess this is the coordinator program that's taken over from Traffic Charities. Am I correct on that? I'd just like to add, and I'm sure my colleague, Legislator Vance, would echo me, that again, this is another Kingston-based program, and as far as I know, there's no heating cooling center in the southern part of the county.
Yeah, I mean, I can respond. I think I've shared before, but we did go through a long process of trying to allocate some of the funding to the Jacksonville area. In 2023, and we had our team, the Catholic Charities School there, that's not, you know, the same area, but we had Catholic Charities School there and meet with state leaders and government leaders to try to find a location. At the time, we weren't able to find one, and we did put a lot of effort into it. So just wanted to make sure that everybody knows that we are looking at spreading this. We have made efforts in the past. This year, we did reopen the RFP. We only had one.
Just like to add that we've been hearing the same old song and dance from the executive department. That they're always looking, but never find anything in other parts of the county.
I visited this site this summer to see the cooling center, and they showed me around and what they do in the winter as well. Refresh my memory, is there an age limit? Is there no children allowed?
There are no children allowed.
Okay. Yes.
Any families are placed in either a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And anything, if there's funds left over that they don't use, what happens to those funds?
There generally hasn't been funds left over. We've been really doing a great job using the allocation from the state, and we're actually going with a lot of funding from the state.
Mm-hmm.
And a portion of the board funding, so we haven't seen that yet. But I mean, I'm not sure it's been look at what would happen, but we just haven't experienced that yet.
And the ages, what, is it 16,
18, 21? Adults. Adults.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just assume that this is something where if legislators identified a likely site that the executive's office would be willing to go investigate that site as a possibility in scattered regions of the county.
We would at this point, because we went through this RFC and we are entering in this contract, we would have to figure out if there are any, this is the whole state allocation. So
for this round, it
yeah,
would be
for this.
This
round, we've gone through the process, but certainly in the future, we would encourage everybody to come forward with any suggestions. We can start conversations early.
Your response.
It was part of the RFP. A designation of where it should be, or just could be any place in the county. That's the first question. Second question is, what has been done to try to find locations that are not just in the city of Kingston? Has it been an effort put in that, or just throw an RFP out and we hope that someone comes out?
So, firstly, the location is specified to the Ignatia, the church. They actually apply directly. So, that location remains the same. So, it's no longer going to be Catholic Charities, but it'll be at the same place. Secondly, it wasn't just, this round was an RFP, but the effort that I was talking about at Allenville was extensive, where we had Catholic Charities and the Department of Social Services Commissioner go to Allenville and meet with a bunch of different church and government leaders to try to find a space. And we actually invited one of the churches, I forget which one, in Allenville to come here and meet with us and try to get them to try to explain what is involved in becoming a warming center and explain that there is funding available to actually make this happen. But the issue is with
with faith-based organizations, it's a hard commitment to make because you have to be able to say that you're purely dedicating your space to be a warming center that is going to be available 24/7. And it's not a choice at that point. Once you accept to be the warming center, it's an obligation that you have. And especially under the continuous operation model, which we're now open from November to March, straight through the season, it's a lot to ask for us for any particular space. So that's why we ask it's difficult to find a partner.
Can I just jump in? You've spoken on this yet.
I have spoken on it. I have one question.
Sorry. Okay. Well, follow up and I'll follow.
Yeah. The follow up is whether if we do the planning far enough in advance, we can split the monies, and would that actually improve the number of people that we serve? So it seems like that is an option. If we identified other sites, could we potentially even request more money for each site? So more money overall so that we could have two sites.
I think we can always request more money. Well, my impression was that the state was impressed with the operation that we run locally and how robust it is compared to other counties. And so I think we can always request it. I'm not sure if we'll get more than what we currently have, but we can always request.
So there was an attempt to have this in Ellenville. Unfortunately, previous leadership, if incorrectly understood the use of a building, which is actually an emergency shelter in Ellenville. And unfortunately, it was not notified that meeting was going to happen, so I couldn't intervene. So I learned about it after the fact. That issue is no longer a problem. So I'm going to be a no on it. I think that the Ellenville one is now viable as an alternative location. And I think it's an opportunity now that was misunderstood last year.
I'm sorry, Jeff. No, go on, keep going. I'm just going to follow up and then out to Mr. Chairman. Like you said, we can't wait until this contract expires in 2027. People are freezing next year all over the county, including Woodstock, Shands Acres. I just think we should make more of an effort to spread out the services than the city of Kingston.
I totally agree with the previous speakers that we need to spread it out. I'm just concerned that if we don't allocate this money, we'll get nothing. So I feel a little bit trapped in the sense of, like, do we need to do this to get something at all? Or is there time and ability to spread this out in a way that both the chair and the deputy chair have expressed of being able to be support the entire county instead of just the city of Kingston? That's my question.
I favor going ahead and accepting this so that we have a service that has been serving a lot of people and that we need. And I understand it being a yearly allocation, that's problematic, but that we begin right away to follow up on what now looks to be available so that we could ask for additional funding next year.
What do we do about this year?
I think we could have a warning soon.
For additional context, Code Blue requires localities to provide. It's a state mandate that provides localities to provide shelter to residents when it's 35 degrees or below. There is no requirement to have a warming center. We're required to provide shelter. So just to make sure everybody understands, when it is freezing, anybody who comes to DSS will be housed in a motel or hotel. There's no turning anybody away when it is cold. The warming center is an alternative to the motels and hotels and considered low barrier in the sense that you don't have to go through the typical process of providing your information to DSS and you're getting housed in hotels. So it is a place where you can walk in and not be turned away. So there's no anybody who needs help from the cold should go to DSS. We have after hours 9 with family in Woodstock and they will be sheltered. The warming center is just a low barrier option.
How do we spread that word out to the various towns, villages then? Because I can tell you that's the first I've heard that, and I know Ellenville certainly doesn't know about that.
because their method is when there is no water shelter, driving to Kingston, which takes two police officers out of service for the 2 hours round trip that they take. So they're not aware of that. And it's first I heard that too. So that makes me feel a little better that there is an option, because it's typically the 35 and under is when I thought the water shelter were really, it's mostly utilized.
Mm-hmm. We can definitely do a push to make sure that is understood, that the requirements to house anybody, to house people, period, provide them shelter when it is freezing. So whether that's in a hotel, motel, that is required. So we can contact the municipalities and let them know that they should direct people to DSS when you find shelter.
Mr. Evers. Thank you. And by voting no today, it doesn't mean we're turning down the money. We're still getting money. We're just not allocating the money. And as we're putting people in the southern part in Woodstock, going to DSS that doesn't have facility, we all know that most of the hotels are filled. It's hard to get a person in. Once every couple of months, I have people that call me up that try to get into DSS, try to get in temporary housing, and they can't get it because the shelters are filled up. So we're going to magically find those hotel rooms in the dead of winter? I think not.
I feel very similar to the Deputy Chair. I think that we need to distribute this, throughout the county. It's a big county. People can't just walk in when you're in Woodstock. Where are you going to walk into? That's my question. There's no place to walk into. And how do you provide services for someone in Woodstock? How do you provide services for someone in Ellenville where there's no place to walk into? That's my question. And, saying, let's approve this for this year, and we'll get to it next year, I would bet you would be in the same time frame, same meeting, and doing the same thing next year, unless we really address this. So I'm concerned about this. Obviously we need to do something, but continuing to put it off year to year to year, because we need to allocate the money now, otherwise we won't have the money, we won't be able to do this, doesn't solve the problem long term.
So we are in the middle of September. This opens November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So, and having visited it and seeing what they have done there, and I was impressed with what they did there. So 6 weeks, I don't know how we would get something set up in another part of the county. I support that, as everybody knows. I just don't know how we would do that. Is there any way, and I know it's not the most convenient thing to have somebody come from another part of the county, but is there any way to utilize UCAT or some other mechanism through law enforcement or some other type of transportation to get the word out, like you said, and transfer people so that they did have a safe place and a warm place and more meals, but continue to look at other ends of the county as well, other locations. But being that it's only 6 weeks from now till November 1st, I don't know how, having seen it with my own eyes, how you would do that somewhere else. So.
Yeah, I don't see why we would be repeating this process again when what we've heard is that there was outreach to Ellenville and there was apparently a no from the best facility that was an error but was a no. That's the reason the executive's office went the direction that they went. We now know that there was an error. It's been communicated and that miscommunication is cleared up. So it seems like we have a straight ahead path for improving the situation going forward. And, to the extent that planning can be done now, we could have that in place long before the next time for filing all this comes up. I do also support the idea of maybe some kind of mobile outreach on this, and whether we could do some kind of, I don't know if any of the intakes can be done outside of the city of Kingston for shelter so that somebody could call and say they need housing and get housing in or near one of the southern towns, but not have to come through Kingston or at least come through Kingston along the way once it's already set up or something, rather than come up here not knowing where you're going to be at that evening.
Mm-hmm.
So improving that system, I think, is we could put some muscle towards that as well. But I think it's essential we have this, and the windows are closing for us to accept this money and have this site, which has been in operation, continue in operation. There is advantage in having this in one of the most populous places in the county, because the need is distributed throughout the county, but population is not. And so we are serving the largest population in Kingston. Next will probably be New Paltz. I do think we should serve the more remote areas, because you're cold. If you're one person, you're cold, and you need to be served. But we are providing the larger benefit that when we concentrate the service where the population is and where the transportation is most adequate. You know, public transportation serves Kingston probably better than any other area of the county.
Yeah, I think Mr. Hanson's point is well taken. At least myself, we're 6 weeks away. While the physical space is there, literally turnkey, it's ready to go in Ellenville. The going out for RFP, and especially Cavachurch is not interested in putting a program together again, that would be finding it difficult to find an operator. So I can fully appreciate that, and I will support this because obviously we do need it. I would just ask that we find a method of transportation for after hours. UCAT is great during the normal operation, but typically this problem takes place after the UCAT hours, and that's where, at least in my end of the county, we've struggled with getting people to Kingston. It's always after the last run. It's usually in the 10, 11 o'clock hour where people are then needing some type of shelter, and there's no, transportation really well. So if we could look into that.
Yeah.
Through the chair to Deputy County Executive Contreras, this resolution is for a period of 4 years. Am I correct? It runs through 2027.
It's a 3-year term.
3 years. It still runs through 2027. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get any new funding next year. Am I correct on that? We're not going to get funding again until 2028.
I will have to check on how often we get the funding from the state, whether we get it in yearly increments or in a block. In terms of when it comes to,
but if we got the money next year, where would we use it? We wouldn't be giving it to this place again, Segunda, because they already got a 3-year plan.
We would. Sorry, I don't think I understand. They're applying for an allocation that matches what we get from the state.
Can I clarify what your point is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think what his point is that, so if next year the 2.3 million number, we're not going to give it solely to Kingston, we're going to split it off, but they've already now have a 3-year or so agreement. How do we do that? Because now we're contracting at that amount. So
right.
Is there an opportunity, you're saying, to get more than the 2.3 for the 25, 26, and 26, 27?
Right. That was what Legislator Nolan had asked. And I think that it's always good for us to ask. My understanding is we get a very high percentage of the statewide allocation because we have our warming center operation goes above and beyond what other counties do. So I don't know the likelihood of us getting even more than what we get now, but it's always worth asking, especially if we have a track record of doing it and we can say that we're going to do another location. It's not, I obviously can't predict whether we'll get more, but we're happy to try. What we could also do, since this is the first year of operation for this new provider, we can see how this season goes. And then always, I think everybody's interest is to serve the residents, so I think they would be open to a conversation about reallocation potentially as long as the budget works and they're able to cover what they need to keep the current location live. you know, it's just that it does cost a lot of money to provide staffing, meals, and security 24/7 for a whole winter season, which we just started doing last year. Prior to that, it was just during freezing times, but now we're doing it the cold season, so it costs a lot of money. So I just don't know the feasibility of being able to split up the money in two locations unless perhaps the second location will do continuous operation, right? There could be a potential of that. So we can always look at renegotiating this, but we did try to start this process early so that we could have everything in place by November 1st. You know, it's a conversation that we needed to start back in July, really, to try to find a provider who would take this on because it is a really hard task. It's a very hard task, and especially managing it every day. There's always incidents that happen, so it's hard to find a provider.
So you could come there and say, I can't finish it, isn't this?
Yeah, I will.
Can I follow up one more time? And I don't really think it started early if we're just getting this in September and opening day is November 1st. I'd like to, and you did say that this is the first year with this new program, and we don't know how they're going to operate or what kind of success they may have. With that said, I'd still like to see this money spread around a little bit. So I'd like to make an amendment that would reduce their take to one third for a 1 year so they could open this year. And if you make that amendment, that would give them $784,496. We could still look for other programs in the Woodstock, Allenville area, and you know, let's worry about in 26 or 25 and 25. Let's worry about this winter right now. We got, you know, I'm sure there's going to be lots of people that are going to need this service in all of Ulster County, not just Kingston.
Well, there's a motion, and is there a second for the amendment?
No second.
Discussion. That's very fun.
I want to understand what that would do. So this 2.3 million is for a 3 year term, and each year is going to be assigned whatever the number is. Would that cause the RFP to be invalid because they bid on a term for 3 years, and us changing the term would probably throw the RFP back to having to be rebid?
Could I jump in on that? Because I don't think it would be exactly that, but it gives me great anxiety that New York State, who we've all, you know, we're doing this with their money and cooperation, that we would make that change at this point after we've got this all lined up, in addition to this provider. I think it's much more secure for us to continue with this and then seek additional funding. And also the provider is going to get experience in the first year and they'd be very happy for a conversation at a later point. But having started in July and reached September, almost October, I think we follow through on this just as a practical matter so that we for sure do not harm this allocation of money.
No, we're not going to follow through. We're allocating $784 for a period of 1 year, which is going to get them off and running. They do a good job of giving more money. This, you know, Ulster County has $100 million in the unallocated fund or something to that number. We could surely go in a different direction and fund these programs either through ourselves or grant money. But we need to do something this year. We're going to have another resolution coming up down the road where we're going to provide yet another mental health service for the city of Kingston. When does it end? Nothing ever gets done in the southern western part of the county. You know, we need to take a stand at some point.
Could we get clarification on the motions? What was the number you said, 780,486?
I think it was a third of the number in the title.
$784,486.
Okay, and then a third. Changing the term to 1 year then, so it ends at 30/25?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me follow up on. So what I'm saying is that if you already have pre-approval from New York State to make that change, then I could think about seriously considering it. We do not have that, and the odds of getting that between now and the time that this center has to open up, I think is nil. So I appreciate the sentiment, but it's just so totally impractical. So I think you've identified this area of concern. We already passed, as one of the early resolutions we passed, a resolution to allow application for micromobility funding. And I think looking at the mobility angle of it is much something we can do much quicker, much faster. But in mid-September, to jeopardize funding for all of the people that would be served by this, in order to try to serve some people in another location who are getting services but are not getting services as easily, I think that we're taking a risk with people, with something that people in the city of Kingston and around the county count on. People in my district use the warming center, and they really prefer it to being sheltered. They don't like necessarily to have to go to a motel, but if they can get on UCAT and go to the warming center and then do their thing and then come back the next day, they're often quite happy. So you would be potentially threatening that with this amendment. Well,
Sir Collins, first.
Just a quick thanks to the amendment. When someone does an RFP for 3 years, they don't necessarily allocate the expense year by year by year to be set. Oftentimes there's an upfront cost which gets made up in the subsequent years. So I think that it's unfair to say, hey, you know what, did an RFP for 3 years, now let's make up 1 year, because the profit, you know, the profit payoff, whatever the not profit's a bad term is, but the cost could be much more significant in the first year than it would be in the third year. So I think that's not a correct way to try to do this. I also just want to say that, I'll do that later. That's one off of this, back to the resolution itself.
That's in Roberts. Thank you. I believe, legislator Hansen could verify that this place was already set up as a hotel or not hotel warming center last year. Everything's in place already. And legislator Nolan, I think you're making things up as you go along. We already got this money. It's not jeopardizing anything. And this money is going to be paid out. If we cut it down to $700,000, $784,000, they don't get the lump sum. They bill us, just like any other nonprofit. So they bill it every month, and then we cut a check. So that's how it works. It doesn't, like, we're not going to hand them $2.3 million. State already gave us that money. It's in our hands.
I don't think that's correct. Yes, you're making stuff up.
Yes, if there's any way to, I don't know procedurally how this works, but I think it could be potentially workable to do the 1 year amendment. I understand what you're saying, Legislator Roberts. I'm just checking with the Commissioner of Social Services to make sure and see if it has any operational flags. I'm also trying to figure out if the plan that we submit to the state is an annual plan. I believe it may be. So is there any way to come back to this later in the conversation?
Of course, sir. Yes. You think it's going to be tonight? Then
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just waiting.
And if I could just do one more follow-up. We do have the money in hand right now. Is that an accurate statement?
We get it reimbursed.
Yes, this is a reimbursement scheme. It's not a upfront scheme.
Okay.
Yeah. One quick question. Yeah. What has been done already at this church site when I went, they have the new bathrooms and so forth. Did the church pay for that on their own, or did that funding come from the state?
So that's another issue. The church, the ramp was funding from the state. We can help them through state funding in making any further changes moved, but the church does have to make some renovations in order to accommodate our warming center. So that's my only other concern with changing it to 1 year. It's like they're basically making a long-term commitment by making these renovations to their center.
But they're already done, though. When I went in the summer, I mean, the bathrooms were brand spanking new. They showed me around and said, this is new, this is new. So did the church do that, or is that
they've made renovations in the past, but they need to make additional renovations that were identified by the city of Kingston building department last year. So my understanding is that they are working on those facilities operate for this coming season. I just heard back from the commissioner. He says first responders and law enforcement agencies from all over the county are required under code blue to transport anybody in need to the warming center, yeah. And they've always done that for the past two. So it's actually a requirement that they do that.
Fully, just be round about how the police have always done it. Mm-hmm. It requires taking two officers out of a police park that only has sometimes two officers on a shift to leave the area, leaving essentially no police presence in an area that quite honestly needs to have police presence. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of it's not happening. The question is there an alternate method that doesn't tax the municipalities and it's provided by the county, whether the sheriff's office or some DSS solution or UCAS solution, whatever it is, but a county-based solution rather than, because this way it's throughout the entire county, it's mm-hmm. not one municipality or another, it's the entire county.
I think the sheriff's office actually is a good suggestion. And there might be subdivisions within the sheriff's office that might be a good opportunity to get into the communities in a way that builds the community policing kind of feeling.
I think that there's two questions here. I think this only addresses one question. I think the question it addresses is how do we provide a warming center in Ulster County? The question that's not addressed is how do we ensure that every single person in Ulster County can be at a warming center? And that's the question that we're trying to resolve here in a way that we really can't because we don't have the ability to do it, we don't have the information or the way to do that. I would love to have that question be the question that we try to address between now and whenever we can get that answer. Because that's a question that has been asked by the deputy chair, been asked by all of us. How do we ensure that every single person that lives in Ulster County can get to a warming center? Whether it's in their town or in a municipality, or they have transportation to a centralized one. We don't have answers to that, and that's the problem. That's what we're trying to address, and that's what we're getting stuck on.
The requirement is to provide shelter, and should and must place people in shelter when they need them. So if it's a motel or a hotel that's closer to where they live, I would think that's preferable potentially than going to a warming center. So I think in my opinion, the question should be how do we make sure that anybody gets shelter who needs shelter when it is freezing. And that's something that we have been able to meet over the past 10 years since ultimately legislation was passed.
I think we might be ready to vote on the proposed amendment, but I would also request that the Health Committee and maybe with Legislative Commons as a liaison take up this issue, both the transportation aspect of it, the shelter aspect, and the warming center aspect, and work with the exec's office on that.
Do you have an answer on the whether or not we can do it 1 year?
He is strongly urging not to because it is a big lift to do the RFP and to find the provider and to do the training for the provider. Their plan actually is to provide a lot of technical assistance and hands-on oversight over the provider this year, and they need consistent staffing and training and equipment to be able to do this. So that's why the RFP was for 3 years.
Can you confirm that there is a cancellation for convenience in the contract where you need to look that up?
There's always a cancellation.
No, don't say that. That's my bad. Part, guys, we're taking it out of contracts and it's a sore subject for me. It is not always in every contract. That is absolutely not true anymore. When I first started, it was true. Certainly not true anymore. So I just want to confirm it. If not, I will we'll finish the one amendment first, but I would make an amendment to put that in there if it's not already.
Given that question, I wonder if the proposed amendment legislator might consider withdrawing the proposed amendment and instead that we've postponed this till the night of session.
Yeah, it's a logistical that is that as well, because we've got audited for.
Oh.
And, yeah, it would have to be.
We've got an extra meeting.
I'm sure we have time between after Republican caucus, have a quick meeting.
Okay.
Let me just confirm this and that.
Oh.
Of the cannabis, okay. Yeah. So, no. That's your Robert, with a cancellation of convenience, we do 1 year if we don't.
I would withdraw my amendment on the advice of the County Finance Committee, Rural Commission, Health Commissioner.
Social Service Commissioner,
that we make it hard to do the 1 year. I'd also, and echo what Legislator Collins said, we need to find a solution, and we could have our local police bring somebody to Kingston. Somebody who's brazen that night isn't going to think about calling the cops. Maybe they would. I don't know. You know, it just seems like an extra step. Maybe they don't want to leave their community to go drive to Kingston or get in a police car, go to Kingston. I don't know. I think it should be, these services need to be more spread out through the county. And I think we all agree on that fact.
And just making municipalities aware that it is open, even though it is in Kingston, for this one, that it is open to every resident of the county. However we do that, through our towns, through our police departments, through DSS, somehow getting that word out.
You know, and all our services are open to all the residents, but it's just the inconvenience of getting there and not knowing.
Did it correctly withdraw your second?
Yes.
Okay. Amendment is withdrawn. All right. So on the resolution, I just say through Legislator Collins, if you could bring this to health and then take this up as a subject to talk about. But on the resolution,
aye.
All those in favor?
Aye. Those.
I don't even know, just so we can talk about it on the floor.
Okay. 478, motion?
Moved.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. So carry. 479. Do you have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Carry. 480. Can I have a motion to postpone?
So moved.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Carry. 481. Can I have a motion?
Second. Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 482. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 483. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 484. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Second. Let's start to Howard's discussion. All those,
I guess 484, you said
484.
484 again is bringing another company, People USA, who does your mental health services. I guess we gave them a grant last year for another program. They're going to be at the States at the Crisis Stabilization Center. Maybe it was their own choice. Maybe we directed them there. But again, we added another mental health service, an additional mental health service. The city of Kingston has stated prior that, again, this other part of the county is left out, literally in the cold again.
The People USA is, I thought they were already there, and this is the Crisis Stabilization Center. It's at that site, so if you're hiring them to staff this Crisis Stabilization Center, they have to do it there.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but again, we do need services in the southern part of the county. I voted against the Mental Health Stabilization Center back when it was first created, just the fact that people in our part of the county, are not going to drive to Kingston to go over there. We'll go to Poughkeepsie or Newburgh before we go to, mental health issues, but not our constituents that are in distress.
So, is People USA, is that the entity that will be providing all the services for the Crisis Stabilization Center?
Correct. So, we did an RFP, People USA is the provider that will be operating the stabilization
program. Okay. I'm just curious, other counties, when they have crisis stabilization center, do they contract out or do they use their own county services and mental health departments?
They do contract out. So the state put out an RFP and all of the stabilization centers, which are all being created brand new right now throughout the state, they're all led by provide.
Okay.
And just a point of clarification on this one, technical issue. County Attorney's Office flagged that there's a Schedule A in this lease that shouldn't be there because that really is more appropriate for the programmatic contract. So in the final versions, we will be striking that Schedule A. I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware.
Is it just a program contract?
This is
the lease for the physical space, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, and Jolene.
Yeah, sorry. So this is the lease that is necessary for PeopleUSA to go through the licensing process that OMH releases. So they've already submitted through the NICON system their original applications to be the provider, and they're going through that process right now to finalize that and do the walkthrough once construction is complete. They'll need to have a lease in place. So that's what this is.
$485, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. 486 in the box, can I have a
motion? Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 487, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 488. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 489. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 490. Is a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 491. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 492. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Comment. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 493. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 494. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 495. Can I have a motion?
I move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. For discussion, I'll just add, my frustration that we don't have the communications tax position filled yet or even written filled. So we have another contract for NICOMCO that we have to do.
We can provide a quick update on that. We did receive approval today through personnel for the position. So we'll be classified as a CFDA position. So that's final sentence. What's the sound?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 496. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to recuse myself. 497. Can I have a motion?
So it's moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 498. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 489. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 500. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 501. Motion.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 503, amendment presented, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? Here. Adopt as amended, can I have a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Second.
Second. That's it. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Here. Labor solution 504, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We're coming in Lincoln's Crowley Gallagher.
Good evening. Thank you. Things look good.
The county has sales tax revenues thus far of $102.1 million, or 61% of budget. That's 3.54% more than last year for the same period. And as you know, a bunch of that's going to be shared with the towns. We actually put out a report on sales tax allocations earlier this week, and Kingston Wire ran an article about it that was incorrect. So currently, just to brief everybody, we do allocate sales tax to the towns based on assessed value, not population. We wanted to show what would happen if you made a change. Occupancy tax revenues are doing well, also 51% of budgeted. We're at $3.1 million so far. And interest income, we're at 94.5% of budgeted interest income for the year. That's $6.7 million. And the budget is 6.7. We've earned $6.3 million so far this year. And I also want to commend the finance department. When I came to you in July, I was complaining that we had $64.8 million in the account that was only earning 1%. We've been moving money, we've been spending money out of that, and we're down to only $34 million, so that's good. So we have $34 million earning 1% in the deposit account, $110.4 million earning 5.29% in the deposit plus account, and almost $80 million in the IntraFi account earning 5.26. So I appreciate the work that the finance department is doing and also pursuing CDs. That's excellent. On the expenditure side, I can't really speak to 2024 numbers right now. I'm going to talk about 2023 for a moment, just to say that total expenditures for 2023 out of the general fund were $323 million. And across all funds, estimated to be $3.88 million, and that the external auditors are still recommending some small adjustments, so those numbers might change. We're predicting a pretty significant fund balance at the end of 2023. In the general fund of $171.2 million. The restricted and non-spendable fund balance is going to be around $61.8 million. And assigned, $36.3 million, and unassigned at $73.2 million. I'm raising this issue to you because we are going to close out 23, and we're going to be in excess of what our fund balance policy allows. So I think that there will be consideration. I've spoken to the county executive and both the assemblywoman and senator for our district about the idea of allowing the housing action fund to count towards removing it from our, you know, from putting us over the policy limit. And I think you could see recommended changes to the fund balance policy as well. So I'm just kind of getting you ready to think about that. If the policy were to use unassigned rather than unrestricted, we would only be over the fund balance policy limit by $1.6 million. But instead, right now, we're over by $37.9 million. So we'll be back to you guys with that. And I think that the administration will probably have recommendations as well. Yeah. On the bank rec side, the bank reconciliation process is moving ahead, and actually a lot of time has been caught up. We have reconciliations through May, so I wanted to report that to you. And we understand they're close to finishing up with June, and that's great. So that's terrific. We also have met recently with the administration on a draft of revised bank reconciliation policy that we'll be looking to bring to you. And I think that's going to be good and timely as well. And that'll replace a 2020 policy. As I told you last month, the audit is going well, and we do believe the single audit deadline will be met, and that's great. We look forward to meeting with the audit committee. Some of you are going to be sitting on that. On the audit and report side, and I'm trying to get to the meat of what I wanted to say to you tonight, we're preparing the Q4 2023 quarterly report. It's very frustrating to me that I'm talking to you about this in August, and that, I mean, in September, and that likely that report won't even be before you for another week or two. We've begun an audit of the county's P-card program. That's the credit card program. We are working through the occupancy tax audit, which I'm really looking forward to seeing the results of. We anticipate releasing our health insurance audit before your next meeting. The health insurance fund is currently not set up in the county financial system. We mentioned this to you previously, but hopefully it will be soon. We released our payments of sales tax to municipalities report. Wanted you to be prepared so that as you go into goes into negotiations with the city of Kingston, all the possibilities can be on the table. A draft of our community college charge back report went to President Buckley's office, And we are looking at updating our 2021 emergency housing report. And now what I really wanted to talk to you about was working in the quality analyst area. The State Comptroller's Office issued an audit of Dutchess County contract monitoring and compliance. I sent it over to Chair Gavaris and as well to Chair Criswell. I want to personally thank the legislature for creating a quality analyst position in our office, which has allowed us to ramp up compliance monitoring, looking at contract monitoring and contract reporting. The Dutchess County audit recommended that contract reporting should be attached to every invoice and that vendors should not be paid without up-to-date reporting. Even with the quality analysts in place, we do not have the staffing to review all the contract reporting that the State Comptroller's Office wanted. Departments should be doing this as they enter invoices for payment. And according to the state audit of Dutchess, we need to be reviewing prevailing wage schedules, all of our regular contract reporting requirements like living wage, LLC transparency, and more. And we simply do not have the staff to do that. So we are instead going to be taking a sampling approach. The quality analyst has been requesting reporting on specific contracts. And I mentioned that to you last time we were here. We are often finding that when we ask for reporting, departments have to go back to vendors to get the reporting. That's not a surprise. We knew that already, and we're still trying to get departments used to asking for the reporting in a more timely way. Our goal is to get the departments in the habit during the balance of 2024. Because we're hoping to close that this year and start to say to vendors, like, we will not issue payment on final invoices unless your reporting is up to date. But I want to tell you also about a project that our office has been working on. It's a long-term goal, one that we spoke to you about last year. We've been preparing a vendor dashboard, which we will hope to launch this fall during your budget deliberations early on in the next few weeks. The vendor dashboard will give public access to every single Ulster County contract executed in 22 and 23, and it will show all payments associated with those contracts. Eventually, we would love to attach contract reporting there. It would be really nice if legislators could log onto this system, pull up the previous contract, look at the payments, and look at what reporting was made under the contract. Obviously, with pertinent, you know, with health and personal information redacted. So, I want to just commend the quality analyst for taking the lead on that project. It's going to be very comprehensively released shortly, and it really is going to help her work in contract monitoring for quality, as well as your job on policy making and budgeting. We understand that the Granicus system that is going to be put in place for the county's website may have this capability in the future. That's fine. We don't need to have competing contract availability if in 2025 the website for the county has it more generally, and it is sufficient, you know, we'll discontinue what we're doing, but we have a lot of data that we want to get ready for you now. So that's my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
The sales tax, occupancy tax, that's through which month? Through August, is that correct? Through, or is it back?
That is through today.
So the sales tax and occupancy tax comes in on a monthly basis, in general, sometimes quarterly basis, depending on the.
Oh, you want the date of the last sales tax payment. Hold on. Exactly. Yeah, okay. Occupancy tax, I would just say, is as of today. Yeah, I
was the right to check in one.
For sales tax?
Yeah. Sales tax, we get 2 to 3 a month.
Yeah, it depends on the month. Yeah. But I can tell you momentarily. And I'm happy to answer any other questions that come.
They're also giving us a small interest payment on the sales tax.
Okay.
For the period they hold the money.
The 13th was our last payment. We're expecting another payment for the August estimated will come around October 6th.
Yeah. Do you have anything on the cannabis tax?
I don't have it in an easy-to-do form. Let me say this on cannabis tax. It's a darn mess. OCM, it has been terrible in their communications. They have made mistakes in allocating by period, by location, and it makes it hard for us on the finance side to then make the appropriate distribution. So there was one distribution that was made to the towns where there was small error that's being corrected now, but all of the county treasurers and finance officers are in the same situation we are, which is just like really struggling with OCM, and they are having to get their ducks in a row in a much better way. I'm going to give you an example. They came back and they said that there was revenues in Rosendale for a certain period of time. We said, no, there's not. Then another time they said, there's no revenue in Rosendale. We looked and it was the cannabis dispensary that was at the on Route 32 that was a grower showcase. They thought it was in Kingston because it has a Kingston address. And that's, you know, in Ulster County, we have a lot of locations that have an address that has a different name of a different town, right? Just because it says Kingston, you might be in Hurley. So they seem to be struggling with that, and it's going to take some time to work out the kinks, and we've been going great with them. But it's not tens of thousands of dollars. And let me also say one other thing, which is that the lion's, all of the cannabis that was sold in Ulster County by delivery services, those revenues accrued to the location of the delivery service and not to the location of the sale. And I know for a fact that hundreds of thousands of dollars was done in that way, and other counties reap the benefits because they're, like, Albany County had a dispensary that was delivering to Ulster County, and it was a significant amount of money. Hundreds of thousands in sales, I'm sorry, not revenues to us.
The point I want to make on that is that the towns, municipalities have been promised significant sales tax, cannabis tax, and they have passed laws and they passed resolutions based on that belief that the state's going to have those that cannabis tax. And I agree with the OCM is a mess. I'm not sure what we can do as a county legislature, but this is affecting towns' budgets. It's affecting municipality budgets. It's not affecting our budget as a county as much because we have so much other revenue. But this is a significant revenue stream that many towns are counting on. And I want to understand how we can solve this problem. Even just receiving the tax would be great. The other mess, of course, that the OCM has is actually granting licenses. That's probably the biggest issue. But
we will make sure to add cannabis revenues back into our monthly report going forward. I'm happy to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I can provide you a detailed breakdown of who's gotten what so far offline from this meeting.
So this may not be a question for this group, but I'm going to ask it anyway. It's related to the subject. What about, you know, all the illegal shops? Well, let's call them unlicensed. Sadly, this discussion has already come up. So.
Yeah, so we learned that there's actually a provision in state law that allows counties to adopt local law that would enable local enforcement by the sheriff's department. And we are looking at that right now. Steuben County has done that. Legislator Hansett, we had a discussion about that, and we shared the just today materials with the sheriff, and he, I'm sure, has not had time to review it. But, you know, that is a possibility going forward.
Okay.
Which, by the way, provides revenues in two ways. One, it drives people to legal dispensaries that provide tax revenues, and two, the penalties that are from those local enforcement activities would come back to the county.
So somebody's working on a potential, please keep me out of
it. I will. Sure. After this meeting, I will talk to you.
We're getting a dispensary in Ellenville, a legal one, and we've learned that there are potentially two right now that are operating that are obviously not licensed.
And we're timely.
Yeah. So I just learned about this the other day.
Yeah.
Any other questions, especially for the legal thing? Great.
Thanks. Oh. So Mr. Quicknell had his wife had her baby. So you're stuck with me. So, just for Val.
Yeah.
So overall, for the month of August, we have overall, so, you know, what we usually do is we'll update as far as the different projects. You'll notice that the big project that we had for the month of August with significant spending was the courthouse station roof. I'm sure you've all seen the staff room come down at this point. That was $1.9 million. Of the other projects that we've had going through the month of August, the remainder were primarily highway projects of about $1 million. That was spent. You know, I know the question always comes up as far as if we're going to be on time, on budget, and it's, you know, at this point, everything that's been delivered to the budget office and communicated to the budget office indicates that there's nothing that says to me that we're not going to be on time or on budget on these projects at this moment.
No? All right. Thank you. Now, we're going to move this. Let's see if you were done.
First one.
Second.
There.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.